give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. O come, let us adore him.
Of those who succeeds in evil schemes. Refrain from anger, be brave on the road. Do not fret yourself in the means only to evil. For evil doers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. In a little while the wicked shall be no more. You shall search out their place, but they will not be there. But the lowly shall possess the land. Rain will delight in abundance of peace. But the deliverance of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
A reading from Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep you alive for your many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please sit. Good morning. Before I begin, I wanted to thank the miracle worker back in the corner, Tom Morgan. Every morning, like before I come up here, he gives me this wireless thing, and we have this really interesting conversation. And he's a wise gentleman, and pretty frequently he'll say something that makes me want to just throw all this out and start over. And but we were talking about manners, we were talking about diplomacy. We were talking about just that those sets of standards that enable people to have tough conversations. Anyway, I know Tom is listening because that's his job, so thank you. You know, Luke 5 and 6 is a pretty interesting scenario that Jesus is involved in, and it reminded me of two things. This poem by Marie Howe, entitled The Star Market, from her collection The Kingdom of Ordinary Time. The people Jesus loved were shopping at the Star Market yesterday. An old lead-colored man standing next to me at the checkout breathed so heavily I had to step back a few steps. Even after his bags were packed, he still stood, breathing hard, hawking into his hand. The feeble, the lame, I could hardly look at them. Shuffling through the aisles, they smelled of decay as if the Star Market had declared a day off for the able-bodied. And I had wandered in with the rest of them, sour milk, bad meat, looking for cereal and spring water. Jesus must have been a saint, I said to myself, looking for my lost car in the parking lot later, stumbling among the people who would have been lowered into rooms by ropes, who would have crept out of caves or crawled from the corners of public baths on their hands and knees begging for mercy. If I touch only the hem of his garment, one woman thought, could I bear the look on his face when he wheels around? The Star Market. It also reminded me of a coffee shop that I go to every week, All Goods Coffee. And Jacqueline, who is the proprietor of that coffee shop and bookstore, has been to our church here. And it's over on Glass Street. And it's a little bit like the Star Market, and it's a little bit like just the assembly of people that Jesus was around in these chapters, leading up to Jesus talking about loving your enemy. Jacqueline is the owner and the daughter of the mother who comes in periodically to talk about her little business next door where she rents out office space for budding entrepreneurs. There are there's a white woman who comes in who appears to be homeless, doesn't have any teeth, and she always looks at Jacqueline, and Jacqueline always says, "You want some coffee, baby?" And she goes, "Yeah." She gets coffee. She sits down, drinks a little coffee, then moves on. Jacqueline's father comes in oftentimes, and he'll sit at the counter, and she knows what to fix him. I meet with people there, Dexter Talley, who he and I run a workforce development project together. He was in federal prison for about 12 years, and just this past week we were talking about how to help young men and women in the community. He's what we would call a conservative. He has no tolerance for their foolishness, and he just wants to yell at them all. And I'm sort of in between. So there's all these different conversations going on. And there's pain that comes in and out of the storefront at All Goods. There's this white man across the street who has a tax filing business, and he gets very upset when you park in front of his establishment, even though it's public parking. So he'll leave these really nasty notes. And we all kind of laugh. And some of us don't laugh. Dexter didn't laugh when he got that note. And he went across the street. And Dexter's like about 10 feet tall. And the man went back inside. I also was meeting with Brandon Malone, who is the senior pastor. I mean, he's the only pastor at Greater Faith Temple Missionary Baptist Church, which is a small church right behind the community kitchen. He and I meet a good bit, and he was asking me about, well, actually we were talking about a woman he had been dating, and then he found out something that bothered him, and they broke up or something like that. And he was just kind of all stirred up inside. And he asked me out of the blue, what is soul care? What is spiritual formation? And I gave this really inadequate answer. It was kind of abstract. I can get really super abstract about true self and false self and all this kind of nonsense. It's not nonsense, but it wasn't helping him at all. And then I kind of landed on something more plain. And I said something, and then he said, oh, text me that. And so what I texted him was, be still and know that I am God, Psalms 46:10. The beginning of soul care is resting in this reality. Spiritual formation is living out of this deep abiding and not out of the world's expectations and temptations. Who am I is a question most people answer by saying what they do or what they have or what people say about them. The deepest foundational response and reality is that you are a child of God. This does not mean we cannot excel and achieve and have dreams. Just don't build your house on sand. Build it on rock. Something real, something stable. Be still and know that I am God. When you look at this this passage of Scripture, loving your enemies, I mean, what could that possibly mean? I mean, that always, especially how a lot of times how we approach that Scripture, I mean, you just love your enemies. I mean, that's like me saying, love country music. I mean, for me, I know there are people in here that probably love country music. But just, no, I don't want to. I mean, I do like Patsy Cline, I think. But it feels forced. You know, at its best, it just seems impractical. At its worst, it just seems really extreme. And so it passes us by, you know, like we're at a bus stop and it's a bus we're never going to get on board with. Loving your enemies. But when you look at the context all the way back, it is an extreme statement. But I think it's built off of what Jesus is trying to do with his disciples and with us. He is trying to form something different and new in us. All of Jesus' teaching is in the context of actual happening things going on. So the disciples are in the streets, they're in All Goods, they're in Star Market, and they're learning these spiritual truths while life is unfolding. We have a little bit of a distance, and we kind of can tend to intellectualize, and so we separate ourselves from it. But so it's not so much, you know, love your enemy, like country music, like this thing that you don't want to like, but build something. It's almost like being told to run a marathon. I like running marathons. I'm not going to run one tomorrow. But I can choose a date in the future. And the way I run a marathon is I create a plan. And I run small races, which would be like running today. I'm going to go run 10 miles. I have to pay attention to rest. I have to pay attention to nutrition. If you go back and you look at what Jesus is laying the groundwork for, he is actually bringing us to the point where loving our enemy is a little bit like running a marathon. I think the enemy, it's interesting, the last time I approached this text and I was asked to speak on it was at the Wesley House in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is a Methodist community center in Mechanicsville, which is an inner city neighborhood in Knoxville. And I was asked to make some comments about loving your enemy. I didn't get through those comments because that was September 9th, 2001. That was 9/11. And we all went to the TV. And I don't know if you remember, nobody felt safe. And we did chat a little bit, maybe, about loving our enemies, but the TV was just grabbing us, and people felt like they needed to go home. I think we could begin by loving our enemies by starting with the people nearest us, those people who irritate us, those people who are different, those people that we don't understand, those people that just seem to stretch us. And I think it's the same as like running a marathon. It seems like an extreme thing, but you can work your way there. That's kind of what Tom and I were talking about in terms of how to have tough conversations. I grew up in a military home, which is not the point. The point is that being a gentleman seemed to be really important to my father. So he told me had an expectation that, you know, if later when I would date, that if I were with a woman, I would be curbside. You know, if we were walking down a street, if we went up stairs, she would go first, I would go second. Why, Dad? In case she falls, okay. And if I'm going down the steps, I go first, because in case she falls. You know, and the curb thing had something to do with mud being splashed up on me. Just as an aside, it seemed dangerous to hang out with women. That was one impression I had. But there was this way in which there was a way in which I was learning small things that would set the stage for hard things and difficult things. I have this habit that when somebody walks up to a table, I stand, and that's just so ingrained in me. It's a sign of respect. So I think that along the way, Jesus is priming people and his disciples in terms of you build this kingdom of God by practicing these small things. They're habits of the body and habits of the heart. You know, don't judge. In other words, don't get preoccupied with what somebody else is doing. Brené Brown is somebody that I really enjoy reading because she has very practical advice about how to navigate a lot of this internal stuff. And she has a new book entitled Atlas of the Heart. She says, places we go when things are uncertain or too much stress, overwhelmed, anxiety, worry, avoidance, excitement, dread, fear, and vulnerability. So when things are uncertain, and they just seem like too much for us to bear, which is much of the time, that's where we go. And that tends to make things worse. Jesus is trying to lead us into a kind of bravery and a sort of a way of being courageous in this world of anxiety. And he is inviting us, like Brené Brown, to practice something different. Brené Brown in this book says, the biggest barriers to developing brave leaders and courageous people, one, people will do almost anything not to feel pain, meaning causing pain or ignoring pain or abusing power. There is a kind of reflexive way in which we sort of preempt or we counter this internal reflection by passing on this pain. Two, very few people can handle being held accountable without rationalizing, blaming, or shutting down. And then three, without understanding how our feelings, thoughts, and behaviors work together, we cannot hope to escape the doom loop of this chaos. So when I look back, you know, upon this scripture, and we read things like love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, give to everyone, do to others as you would have them do to you. None of that is going to make sense unless you know what you're moving toward, and that is abiding in God and loving God. I don't think you can build a life by a list of don'ts, but the don'ts can help and help you understand when you're getting off track in terms of loving God and abiding. I can't remember all of this stuff, but like when you're growing a plant and the leaves turn yellow and you know maybe the soil needs more this fertilizer or that, or less water or more water, that's kind of like what Jesus is saying. He's saying that when these things really go off the rails, then pull back, and to some extent go right back to what Brandon and I were talking about, which is be still and know that I am God. Abide in God. And that can be finding that restful place, listening to country music, listening to music, being still, reading a good book. I mean, it sounds like it won't be very effective in terms of loving your enemy, but I think the more in which you kind of develop intimacy with Father, with Jesus, as you know him, then these other statements will ring true. Meister Eckhart, the German theologian, said that spirituality really is more about subtraction and not addition. It's about taking away the anxiety, taking away the angry thoughts, removing yourself from that loop of anxiety. And I think what you'll discover is that many of the people that you kind of imagine are your enemies are really not. They're just like you, struggling and trying to process a lot of the stuff they have inside. So my word for you, in order to understand loving your enemies, is to be still and know that I am God. Rely less and less on your reactions and allow yourself to follow, abide, and rest in him. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to God, who is made manifest in Jesus Christ.
As the prophet Isaiah rang out, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. Empower your church, O God, and ring out the good news of the light of your Son Jesus, which pierces even the deepest darkness. Lord, in your mercy."
Hear our prayer.
As a star rose high into the nighttime sky to draw the nations of the Christ child, send your blessing, O God, on this nation and every nation, and draw the whole world to your peace and truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As John the Baptist guided throngs of people to the edge of the wilderness and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, we pray that you would guide our country and our leaders to the ways of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As Jesus climbed the mountaintop and proclaimed blessings on the people of the world, we pray for the sick and the distressed, the poor and the lame. We especially pray for Jim, JR and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Terry, Kenton, Dale, Sarah, Peter, Marianne, Dean, Kelly, Holly, John and Janice, Mark, Judy, and Joey, Sharon, Dean, Blake, Emily and Hampton, Elizabeth, Alice, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John and Jenny, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Amy, Lori, Roy, Cheryl, the Alley family, and Christina. As Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and boats and follow him, we pray for those we love and who have answered your call to follow Jesus to your heavenly kingdom. Give them your peace, Lord, and your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, light of the world, hear our prayers and make us reflections of your light, that the places of darkness in our world would be pierced by your light, and that all nations would be drawn to you and be overwhelmed with joy. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care that surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Thank you. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.